But I want to do something that kind of covers where he is in that and kind of keep the same concept of that. And we, in this gathering, I mean, if you're Sunday night folks, you understand or you realize your submission to God. You know where you are in your faith journey with this one that we call Yahweh, with who God is. And all those aspects of who God is. But we have to realize that that's not an assumed. You know, we feel maybe even respectfully so that maybe all this Genesis stuff gets bogged down. But folks, we realize that we live in a world where what we are hearing with an understanding is totally new contrived thought to many people who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For us, it is an understood. I was just thinking, kind of as I was preparing to come up here, that I did not grow up in a Christian family, per se, but I grew up in a religious family. Even though Christianity wasn't something that I could say was lived out, we lived in an understanding that there was a God. I mean, even as simple as that sounds, there was that respect. We cannot assume that. And we use a term here at Hillcrest a lot, the concept of worldview. We walk in that worldview that there is a God. We walk in a worldview that these scriptures are without error. We walk in a worldview of such things, that there is a heaven, that there is a hell. I mean, even just those basic tenet principles we walk in. But that's not there. And we cannot assume that. And so going back to the origins of these things is so critical for you to remind yourself, what do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? And so we know that simple, you know, VBS Sunday school elementary thought that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And don't worry, I'm not going to start his whole series over again. But that is such a simple principle to us. But I would like you not to shallow down, but to go back to the simplicity of such faith and remember and realize the complexity of a statement that what sounds elementary to us is actually pretty big. In the beginning, God created. And so we're going to look at some scriptures tonight. I'm going to get you through Genesis like in 5 minutes. I don't know why it's taken us so long, but we're going to actually get to Revelation even tonight. And we're going to stop in John in between. And as you see your scriptures or you see your fill-ins, you're going to see the continuing of my God is, but I could change it to God you are. Okay, there's a grammar tense lesson there for you. But in the beginning, God. And we see so much around us and we see so much things that to the world can bring certain uncertainty. But I can tell you in testimony form that yes, I'm a worrier. I get worried about the things that I feel like I have to have control of. This is confession time. If I feel like I'm supposed to be in control of it, I do worry. But there are things I know are just out of my control. And it's pretty nice in my faith just to say, God, this one's yours. Now, all of it's God's, but God has it. And so when we see the chaos in the world that we do, when we see just things changing us, when we hear that saying, you know, things just aren't like they used to be, I really don't let that bother me. Because in the beginning, God. And we're going to see that in the beginning, at the very end, in the beginning, God always has been. And so just kind of the first fill-in would be the very simple fact that my God is my creator. My God is my creator. He is the creator. And it sounds so elementary, but I think it's really important that we do remind ourselves of that fact. And if we were to go over to Romans chapter 1 in verses 19 and 20, we are reminded of the fact that we are without excuse of that fact. He is creator. You know that I love to do photography, and there's times that I will just see something and I'm like, oh man, that's like the sweet shot of the weekend. And I can't capture it. And I kind of came up with this thought of, it's God's reminding me, you can't put me in a box. It's kind of God's way of reminding me, I'm bigger than that button that you're going to push. I'm bigger than that lens that you're looking through. I made this. I am creator. And as we're not going to go through Genesis 1 by any means. We're just kind of reminding ourselves of that first phrase that in the beginning God created. And it so perfectly fits that as Laura was singing, and I'm not making this up, I'm sitting there going, I think this song works and I think this message works for that song. God, you are. And everything within those phrases that were just sung were statements of who God is. And do you realize that nothing of who God is bad? Even that sounds elementary. But my God is good. It's just my creator, my God is good. Now, we look around us and we think, I see a lot of not good. But that is man. That is the fall. That is sin. But there is nothing of who my God is of which is not good. I mean, you cannot look through anywhere in the scriptures and see anything that says God is bad, God is evil, God is wicked. Now, we don't like the just part. But even in the just, there is a goodness. Because that means God is fair. God is right. He is these things. God is. And God is my creator. And you could just go through scripture after scripture throughout the Psalms, throughout all in it. He is good. The Lord is good. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. Over and over and over, dot, dot, dot. My creator is good. God, you are. Elementary. But we need to be reminded of it. So we see that, and we see how he created, and he created, and he created, and even at the end of each of those segments of creation, what did he remind us of, or what are we reminded of? That it is good. Okay. And then we see, just as that unfolds, and as I look throughout the scriptures, we are just continuously reminded of that. When we look at his creation, we are reminded of the complexity of detail of him as creator. Things that we may not even think about. In the movement of who, in the movement of his nature, in the timing of his seasons, in the coming and going of the tide. He is perfect in that. And so we are reminded of those things. We're also reminded when he is creator that man, and I want to slow down and say this correctly. God is creator. Man makes stuff. Mankind has created nothing. That kind of lowers us a notch. We take all that God has created and we make from that. Electricity we have harnessed. Water power we have harnessed. Wind we can even harness. We can weave elements and call them cloth. We can make ingredients and call it chocolate, and God is good. Some of you will get that later. But mankind has created nothing. And I even try to think of the goodness of mankind, and I love to see the humanity of mankind. But folks, we will disappoint each other at some point along the journey. We will mess up. We will sin. Even in our goodness, we are sinners. Now, we shouldn't wallow in the mud there. We are sinners saved by grace, amen. But He is Creator. He is good. And we tell the Awana children that. We will share that in Bible school. And I think we have to stop as the senior seasoned group. No disrespect. The mature in faith. Does that sound better? And remind ourselves of the simplicity of some of these truths of who God is. My God is the Creator and my God is good. Well, we're done with Genesis. See, Pastor, how fast that was. Turn with me to John chapter 1. We're reminded in John chapter 1, of course, when we start turning to the Gospels, we start thinking Jesus. I mean, these are the Jesus stories. This is when He comes on the scene. This is when we start to see who He is. Now, we also must be reminded of the fact that each of the Gospel writers is looking at Jesus through a different lens, through a different microscope. And they bring the nature of who they are. They bring the history of who they are to that. And so as John records his Gospel writings, so many times, and there's just this theme that John sees Yahweh, and I'm saying that on purpose, John sees Yahweh as the Father, and he sees the Christ, the Son, come of Yahweh as Son of God. Luke sees Him as Son of Man. We see this. I use this in illustration all the time, and I may have used this illustration here before. But John writes everything through the lens that Christ comes as Son of God. And so we read from John chapter 1 these words that say, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Jump on down with me, because John takes a little segue through John the Baptist there. Jump on down with me to verse 10 as it begins to re-speak of Christ. And says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was of His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and lived here for a while among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The beauty of the faith that we walk in and that we claim is Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we call ourselves Christians, the beauty of that faith is that we serve a God of love. We serve a God also, which is the next point, that my God is my salvation. Sounds elementary. But please remind yourself of that as we also continue this journey. My God is my salvation. John shows us that. And again, we have an understanding a bit here of the Scripture tonight, but I don't want to assume that. And so when you begin John chapter 1 and you see the phrase, "in the beginning," well, this contradicts Genesis 1, because in Genesis 1 it says, "In the beginning, God." Oh, but it doesn't contradict. There's no contradiction within the Father. It says here, "In the beginning was the Word. Folks, that is not contradiction. Because if you, now you kind of have to do the formula thing, and I never figured out how A plus B equaled C, because letters spell words and numbers add up. Okay? Algebra and I did not do well. But if you look at the A plus B equals C here, and you start adding together these phrases, it adds up. And so you kind of look at them in chunks, much like you have to look at Paul's writings. And he says, in the beginning was the Word. Capital W. In the beginning was the Word. Now, I don't want to assume, folks, when it speaks of the Word, and I'm going to simplify it here, it's speaking of Jesus. It's speaking of Christ. It's speaking of the Son. Okay. Well, I thought God was in the beginning. Let me remind you of the phrase that says, let us make man in our image. Plural usage, indicating a plurality present. And so in the beginning was not just God, but in the beginning was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thus, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We'll remind ourselves of that in a moment. So in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, and I don't want to flip the scriptures, but to illustrate to you, if this is new to you, in the beginning was the Son. In the beginning was Christ. Now here's where it gets the A plus B equals C. And the Word was with God. He signatures that. In the beginning was the Word, and that Word was present with the Father. Christ was present with the Father. The Son is there with the Father. But not only that, not only was the Word with God, the Word was God. That's what messed him up when he came to earth and started kind of telling him some things. Because only God had the authority in those realms. And he says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Well, what audacity. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was not only with God, the Word was God. I mean, he's credentialing himself here. He was with God in the beginning. So he's clarifying that credential. And then he begins to go into the gospel story, the good news. He reminds us of John. Okay? Well, let's back up. Let's slow down for a minute and back up. He also reminds us in verse 3, through him, all things were made. Well, in the beginning, God created, and now it's saying through him, all things were made. Remember what I just said. It's not contradictory. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So it is not contradictory to say that through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And the Father breathed life into them. But it says, in him was life. And that life was not just air in our lungs. Look at how it's worded. In him was life. And that life was what? The light of men. Isaiah, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them a light has dawned. Do you see any inconsistency in who God is proclaiming himself to be and who the Son comes as? He comes as our Savior. For it goes on, and I love this. Jump on down with me again. Look at it with me. He who was in the world and through the world was made through him. Keep going. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That's those New Testament stories for you. He came that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet. I always like those words. I don't want to make, there's always that, one of the best words in the Bible is the word but. Because it means there's something to follow what was just said. And we usually need that that's going to follow. Okay? But yet. That always means, hey, something's about to change. Or something's coming that we need. Yet, to all to all who received him. To those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Friends, my God is my creator, but my God is also my salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. He made a way. That word came and lived and dwelt among us for but a time. And that one was crucified and hung on a cross and buried and resurrected for our sins and ascended to be with the Holy Father. And one day we'll return again, and we all like that stuff because we even get louder and faster as we say it. That is our salvation. And I walk in nothing else but that. You can question a person. I've been in these conversations. You can question my intent. You can question something I did. You can maybe challenge my motive. But I will not let you challenge the fact that I love my Lord Jesus Christ, that he is my Savior, and that you will never try to take that away from me. And I walk in that. And everything I've been on my journey the past 3.5 years, I walk in that. He is my salvation. Amen. And so we see that. In the beginning was the Word. And what is it that how we our lives are changed? Our lives are changed when we realize that through the Word. Our lives are changed when the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the words of a person speaking truth of the gospel to us. I don't know what it was about the particular night that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'd been a van kid going to church just so I could get a good dinner and be with my friends. Not that mom couldn't cook, but it was more fun to be at church. You know, it's a kid thing. But through the spoken word of an old-time preacher and the songs I was singing in the youth choir in a choir loft, the Word spoke to me. And the Word became my salvation. Finally, I told you, man, we're going to get to Revelation before the night is over. Let's continue looking at this consistent pattern by going to Revelation chapter 1. We started in Genesis. In the beginning, God created. We've seen how in John 1, and I believe God's consistent enough that we find these in the first chapter of each one for a reason. There's many times we look at the Word and we think, well, that was pretty neat. Yeah, it's kind of planned. It's a God thing. And so we go from Genesis 1 to the Gospels to Revelation. And we're reminded that God is not only my Creator and He is my Savior, but my God is eternal. And we need that one just as much. Think about that. Think about your family. Think about however far back you know your history. Just think back. That the conversations that were held about the Almighty, those conversations are speaking of the same God that we speak of today. The God of the burning bush is the same God in whose power we walk in today. I was over at the Faith House this morning and I was sharing this with them from Ephesians chapter 1 about the, and we're talking about that his power is within us. That incomparably great power. I mean, he didn't just call it power, he calls it great, and not just that, incomparably great power. Of God. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Do we rather in that? That the power in which we walk in the Holy Spirit is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And he goes on and says, and exalted him above all things. And he goes into this beautiful terminology of the dominion and the majesty and that kind of throne room experience of the almighty power of Jesus Christ and of the Father. Folks, my God is eternal. And I'm glad he doesn't quit. I'm glad I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and he's going to say, oh, time's up. Now, time could be up, but eternity continues. And that's the urgency. That's the immediacy of getting the gospel out. But I walk in the eternity of who Christ is. My God is eternal. And so the day may come when all this ends. The day will come when all this ends. But we gather and we walk in the power and the confidence of the fact that my God is eternal. I want to illustrate something for you, and I have the lines there for you, and you're going to think, well, this was just a repeat. No, it wasn't a repeat in your printing. But don't get ahead of me. Begin with me in Revelation chapter 1. One of my favorite scriptures of all the scriptures. Have you ever heard someone say, well, that's a beautiful scripture. Do we know of a bad scripture? Okay. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, he says, actually Christ says, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now I have to tell you that and not so long ago, years, as I was reading in different things, and I saw that scripture, it threw me off because I thought, well, I've said that scripture wrong the whole time. I always thought it was who was and is to come. I mean, that's not in chronological order. That's not right. Who is and was and is to come, that's not the right order. It should be who was and is to come. But I'd like for you, if you're the note taker person, and I'd like for you to write on the back of the bulletin to fill it in that order as it is in Revelation 1 verse 8 when he says, who is and who was and who is to come. Now, I'd like you to jump on over with me to Revelation chapter 4. Evidently, as a young youth, this is the scripture that I was remembering. My God is eternal. And in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, we are told, holy, 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 there's the Trinity. Holy is the Father. Holy is the Son. Holy is the Spirit. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. They flipped it. Must be a misprint. Oh, but think about it. In Revelation chapter 1, we begin to see, and this is just what I claim to on this. You can talk about it later with me in the foyer. But in Revelation chapter 1, if you were to go there and remind yourselves, when it says that who is and was and is to come, the top one there that's in white, I have to think that for John in exile, in the moment of life that he was in, he had to believe, God, you are. In his moment, he needed to realize and hear, God is. That same God who was at the burning bush, that same God who reminded Moses to tell them that I am has sent you, John needed to realize in his moment, God is. God has not abandoned me. God has not forgot me. in the midst of this, God is. And then he's reminded, God is, and he was, and he always will be, but he is. And I need to realize that. That if you'll allow me the English of this, that when I was 13, God is. When I accepted him as my Lord and Savior. When I've been through each stage of the journey of junk, and can we get an amen that we have those times? When I, through each of those moments, God is. Tonight, God is. Tomorrow, I could come up to you and you could say, God is. Now, tomorrow's future right now. But God is eternal. And so, I have to think that. Why the flip? Again, you can talk to me about it over hot wings. But Revelation chapter 4 is when we see the flip. Who was, who is, and who is to come. You see, when we see this, when we're reminded this, we're giving this image, it's this experience, it's this encounter of the throne room. Folks, eternity is happening. The was and is to come is recorded as that phrase, that segment of worship that's happening before the throne. And all eternity is before them. And he was, and he is, and he is to come. And time matters no more. My God is eternal. And folks, I need him to be. I'm thankful he's creator. And I need him as my savior. And I'm so thankful that he is eternal. God, you are. And I was really thinking about this, Laura, as that was being sung, that each of those terms, we won't make you sing it again. But if we had the lyrics of those, of God, you are, it would be neat. We could probably fit them in one of these points. He's creator. He's just. All those things of the bigness of who God is. He's Savior, he's Redeemer, all those things. And he's eternal and he is healer. Oh, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that at 13 I believed that. I didn't understand it all, but I accepted it. And it never gets old. And time after time after time, we're reminded of the simplicity but the complexity of what that says to us. Let's pray. Father God, you are mighty. You are holy. You are worthy. You are just. You are Redeemer. You are Creator. You are the Word. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. You are Jehovah Nissi, the God who goes before us. You are Alpha and Omega, who was and is to come, and who is in this moment now. And so that's the commitment point of this prayer is, Father, there are people in this room in their journey of life, in the maturity of their faith, that they're going to have a week come up here, and they're going to be needing to call out upon you and say, God, I know you are there. God, I need you here in the is of this moment. And we know you will be, because we walk in that. Father, there may be someone here tonight that just needs to recommit to that. They're getting bitter in their faith. They're getting confused. They're getting frustrated. They're bogged down with religion and they need a renewal of relationship. And you are. In the moment, you are who they need. Your salvation is today.
And there may be someone that's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, and they call upon you tonight. And they admit that, and they commit to that, and they believe you to be Lord and Savior, and they call upon you, and they come just falling before you in the heart of their spirit and say, God, you are who I need, because it ain't working. We thank you that you will be this week, and tomorrow you will be the God who is, because you have been, oh, so faithful as the God who was. And you are a keeper of your promises. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.